Look at Amarim, page Kuf Samach Beis. Okay, last week we were learning a very, very deep sugya. We were learning about creation of the universe. We were learning about Shviras HaKelim. And we were learning that in the destruction of the worlds, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to create this world, there was always an akuda, there was always a point that remained. There's always something that's whole. We connected it to marriage and Tchiyas HaMesim and overcoming Misa and the kings at the end of Parshas Vayishlach. We made a lot of amazing connections. And now we're going to go weiter on this Yesod. Again, the basic Yesod is, we can learn it as deep as we want, but the basic Yesod is Eintrum Yeyesh Ba'olam Klal, that Rinachon wants us to believe and to understand, not only that we're prohibited from giving up hope, but that there is no loss of hope in the world at all. Okay, so let's see. Nisgalsa Hanakuda. Nisgalsa Hanakuda, the point that is going to be uncovered or rediscovered amidst all the brokenness. V'hinei b'maisa d'hagar v'yishmal k'fi shemuva b'torah. In the story of Hagar and Yishmal. Now that's one of the great stories on the surface. It's one of the great stories of Yayush. Because what mother ever gives up on her child? And in Pshat, that's what Hagar did. She gave up on Yishmal. Yishmal was burning up with fever. She was kicked out of Avram's home. She's wandering around in the desert. She's desperate for water. And she basically gives up on her child and puts him down under a little tree, under a little bush, and goes to mourn her fate. She abandons her child. So in the story of Hagar and Yishmal, kafi shemuva b'Torah, kishenigzar alav misa, nikla b'midbar, vitzama l'mayim, at shkama'at yotza nafsho mitzimon. Right, the gzeira of misa was in place. It looked like Yishmal's end was in sight. They're stuck in the midbar. They're flung into the midbar. They're thirsty for water to the point of nearly losing their lives. Va'aliba de'emes haisa shamu chenes umizu menes be'er mayim chayim. The truth of the matter is that there was a Be'er Mayim Chaim that was there all along. The truth is that it was prepared and it was destined for them, that well of water. Gam terem shenirasa lifnei Hagar. See, in the end, we know the end of the story. In the end, Hashem says, don't worry, Yishmael's going to survive. And look, there's water right over there. So you think, wow, Hashem made a miracle. Hashem made this well of water appear. Right? This body of water suddenly appeared out of nowhere in the desert. The truth is, it was there the whole time. But she didn't see it. Elamikeivan shechala alav gzeiras misa. But since there was a gzeira for Yishmael to die at that point, ne'almaha be'er me'enayim. So the be'er was ne'alam, that was concealed from them. They couldn't see it. At she'igiu lahavin she'ein shum miftach zulas Hashem yisbarach levad. Until they came to the realization that there's no one to depend upon except for Hashem. Now, there's the Pashup shot, and then there's what we're about to learn from the Berditchever. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev was obviously the greatest at being Malamed Zchus. And he's Malamed Zchus here even on Hagar and Yishmal. He tries to explain how Hagar's actions are not what I presented, the opposite, the opposite of hope in Hashem, the ultimate expression of Yayush. The Berditchever says, no, she surrendered her own efforts and handed the whole thing over to Hashem, and that's why she was saved. I want to show you a few levels here. On the one hand, we want to dafka show the failure of Hagar and Yishmael, to say that as the Jewish people, we would have made a different choice. On the other hand, the Berditchever is actually being melamed zchus and explaining how Hagar and Yishmael also had a certain type of faith that actually saved them. Okay, look how the Berditchever reads the psukim. Kamuva meharav hakadosh mi berditchev zechusi again aleinu. As the berditchev explains on the pasuk, v'sashlech es hayeled tachas achad hasichim. Tashlech. It's a rough word, no? It doesn't say she put down her child and kissed him goodbye and said, I'm so sad to see you die like this. She flung him, tashlech. She flung the child under one of the bushes. But says the Berditchever, no. She placed him under the sichem. What does it mean under the sichem? Shehasicha daita mimenu. that she removed Hesach Hadas. What's Hesach Hadas? Right? Hesach Hadas. It means distraction. She distracted her mind. She removed her mind from him. And she handed over her son to Hashem. She said, until now, I've been trying to save you, Yishmael. But now, what? I'm throwing you onto Hashem. I'm going to have Hesach Hadas. I'm going to give up my human efforts and rely solely on Hashem. The truth is, if the Berditcher is correct, and again, Api Pnimius, he's certainly correct on one level, right? The word Vatashlech actually makes a lot of sense. Because there's a pasuk that says, Hashlech al Hashem Yehavcha. Hashlech, throw your burden onto Hashem. So that's exactly what she did here. She threw her tzaras to Hashem. Hashem, you deal with the problem. Right? It wasn't her giving up hope from her child. She was dafka, giving up human hope and relying entirely on a kohu. And then, of course, when you do that, says the Berditcher, what happens? Oz vayishmal meskol hanar. Hashem hears all of a sudden the cries of Yishmael. He's been crying this whole time. But now, all of a sudden, Hashem hears the cries of the youth, of Yishmael. Yifkach Elokim Aseinah, and Hashem opens Hagar's eyes. Vateira be'er mayim. And all of a sudden, it doesn't say, but now she sees what was there all along. Because when you trust in Hashem, Hashem helps you to see what you need to see. The salvation was there the whole time. But she see it. Hainu kanizkar le'el, as we've explained earlier. Shelo nivra be'er chadasha, el rak nifkechu ha'inayim. It wasn't that the well was suddenly created. It was that now the eyes were opened. V'yarda ha'alama. And the concealment was what? Was removed. Va'oz nisgal salah nakuda shelo nishra. And then she saw that the hope was there all along. It was never a desperate situation. Va'oz v'timalei aschamas hamayim. She fills up her jug, and she gives her child to drink. Va'hi alokim asanar. And Hashem is with the youth. Va'yigadel, and he grows, and he becomes successful. And the truth is, according to Chazal, the individual Yishmael actually was chozer b'tshuva at the end of his life. So maybe that's why the Berditcher wants to be Malam Mitzchos and Yishmael. Yishmael, the nation, has given us quite a bit of trouble since Yishmael the person. But Yishmael the person was chozer b'tshuva. He's a child of Avram Avinu. He's not Yitzchak. But maybe we can find the good in Yishmael and even in Hagar, who maybe also was chozer b'tshuva in a certain way. Hagar, Keturah, again, different shitas in Chazal, exactly what happened with Hagar and what happened with Yishmael. Okay. Now, what's interesting about this piece is that, again, the Berditchever is actually doing the opposite of what some of the Svarim HaKadoshim do with these psukim. Because, again, on the surface, this is Mamish Yeish Gomer. She took her child, who's deathly ill, and it was, like, too painful for her to watch, so she just, like, gave up. But Tashleich, she threw the kid down, like, in frustration, and just threw up her hands. The Berditch were saying, no, she surrendered her child to Hashem, and that's why Hashem heard the cries of Yishmael. But there are many hints in this pasuk to the fact that there's a sugi of Yeyush here. The Svarim HaKadoshim say that what's the gematria of Yeyush? Rabbi Nachman is telling us, ain't from Yeyush. What's the gematria of Yeyush? 317. Right? Where did she place him? Tachas echad hasichim, under one of the sichim. So what happens if you take the word siach, right? Siach 318, and you do it tachas echad hasichim, one less than siach. It's 317. It's yayush, right? So she was mamish. She was mamish entering into this world of yayush. Now, of course, the antithesis of yayush, maybe the ultimate turnaround, is literally Avram with a knife in his hand, standing over Yitzchak, ready to shecht his son. And what happens? At the last minute, the thing gets called off. Mamash, the last minute. The Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Yud, that afilu cherev chada munachas al savaro shel adam, that even if a sharp sword is on a person's neck, you never give up hope. So whether it's the image of Avram standing with a knife, or whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu about to have his head chopped off in Mitzrayim, and he's able to escape, Vayatzileini Micherav Paro, Moshe named one of his children Eliezer because he was saved from the sword of Paro, Eliezer. Right? That Kel, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, came to my Ezer, came to my rescue. What's the gematria of Eliezer? when Moshe says, I had the sword on my neck and I survived and I named my son Eliezer because I was saved from the sword of power, like that Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud, that even if the sword's on your neck, you never give up hope. What is the gematria of Eliezer? 318, one more than Yayush. Because Moshe Rabbeinu overcame Yayush in that moment. And that's why the Svarim say, you know, sometimes the way to show that you're the opposite of a negative midah is to have the same gematria of it, right? That's the pasuk in the seventh parak of Koheles. Zel umas zeh asa Elokim. This one opposite that one Hashem created. So sometimes, you know, to fight against something, you have to have like, you're the equal kalach to it. Or sometimes the way to say that you're like, you're the opposite of it is to be one more than it. Right? So for example, right? We have the famous example, the Maharal introduced us to this idea, right? That the Yevanim were able to enter into the Heichal and to defile the oil on Hanukkah because Yavan is 66 and Heichal is 65. So the Yevanim were able to overpower the Heichal, so to speak, right? So here we're saying that Moshe Rabbeinu survived the sword, and the Gemara says, never give up hope, al yitayesh. It's not Rabbi Nachman, it's the Gemara. Don't give up even if the sword is on your neck. Right? And Moshe named his son Eliezer. So Eliezer is 318, one more than Yayish. But Avram Avinu also had a sword in his hand, on his own son's neck. And then at the last second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called off the Akedah. Right? So Avram Avinu in many ways is also the antithesis of Yayish. Avram Avinu, who was thrown into a fiery furnace and never gave up hope, continued to believe in Hashem. So the Sfarim say Avraham Avinu is Gematria 317. Avraham Avinu is 317. Because again, you'll say, but that's equal to Yayish. It means that he's the counterbalance to Yayish. Right? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Yeah? Again, the Pasuk in Koheles. Zeh lu'umah zeh asa Elokim. So again, the way that some of the tzaddikim learned this Pasuk is that look what a terrible mother Hagar was. She gave up on her son Yishmael. She threw him down under a siach. One less than siach is gematria Yayush. Right? She gave up hope. But the Berditchever is being melamed zchus. And the Berditchever is saying, no. The Berditchever is saying, she put down her son, v'tashlich. She threw him down, like the Pasuk says, hashlich al Hashem yahavcha. Throw your burden, throw your tzaros onto Hashem. And then, v'yishmael lokim, then Hashem listens. And then Hashem opens her eyes and she sees, wait a minute, we were never in trouble. The water was right there the whole time. And that's where Yaakov Meir Shechter wants to emphasize. The salvation is always there. The Nekuda, that piece that's not broken, is always there. It's just a question of being able to see it. And he continues. HaYeshua nimtzeis b'samuch el l'shehi mechusa. Next paragraph. The salvation is right next to you. It's just that it's hidden from you. V'hi dugma lahamon matzavim b'chaya adam. And this is very reminiscent, the story of Hagar and Yishmael is very reminiscent to so many experiences in our lives. Shenimsa lif'amim b'mitzoyka kasha b'ruchli sobegashmis. A person feels like they're really trapped. A person feels like they're really, really stuck. V'samuch v'nira elav mitzuya haderech hanachona va'itza atova keitza linatzel ulivashaya. And it could be that samuch, that close by, v'nira, and within view, is the thing, is the pathway out. Right? It could be you're trying to get a job from you went for this interview, you didn't get the job. You went for this interview, you didn't get the job. You went for this interview, you didn't get the job. It could be the guy who sits next to him in shul is going to be the guy on Shabbos who you sat next to all the time, right? And he's in like a slightly different line of work. You never thought to ask him. And all of a sudden he says, oh, what are you up to? You know? One Motzei Shabbos, and he went out of shul. He's like, oh, you know, what are you up to these days? Oh, I don't know, I'm looking for a job. Oh, I have an opening. Right? So you're running here, and you're running there, and you're going here, and you're going there. And it could be Mamish, the guy who's sitting next to you the whole time. Is the Yeshua. Elishahu muka besanverim. But you're stricken with what? With blindness. You're not able to see. It's like the people trying to get into Lot's house, right? The Pasuk says they were all of a sudden they were afflicted with blindness and they couldn't find the Pesach Habayis. They couldn't find the entrance to the door, even though it was right there. Ve'eino roas Yeshua krova elav ma'od. You're not able to see the Yeshua that's right next to you. Whereas the Medrash says in the context of Hagar, and it's a very chashuv medrash. Remember this medrash. I think about this medrash all the time. It's such an important medrash. Amar Rabbi Ben Yamin, Hakol bechezka sumin heim, at sheba kadosh baruch hu umeir aseinayim. Everyone has a chazaka, has the status quo, of being a suma, of being a blind person, until a kadosh baruch hu comes and illuminates your eyes. You have to daven, Hashem, let me to see what's right. I know it's right in front of my face. It could be staring at a page of Gemara saying, why do some people... Hashem, I know it's right. I know that the thing that I need in order to live an illuminated life, Ya'ir Hashem panav elecha. Like Birchas Kohanim, Hashem, shine your countenance upon me. Let me see what's right there. Hagar had the well of water right next to her, and she's, oh, yeah, yeah, my son's going to die. It was right there. But until Hashem opens your eyes, you can't see. V'darash Chazal. V'drash Chazal Zeh. Hamuv al Hagar. This is drash, this medrash, that was said in the context of Hagar. Ein kavanaso re'ia gashmis dafka. We're not just talking about sometimes, you know, you're looking for your car keys, or looking for your cell phone, and like it's in your hand, or it's like in your pocket, or it's right on the table in front of you, and you say, I looked down the whole house, and it was the most obvious place. It's not just talking about physically seeing something. It's not just seeing something that was, you know, looking for something that was physically there. It's about realizing the solution to my problem is like the most obvious thing. Why did I never think of this? Why did I never think of that? Right? Why didn't I think to speak to this person or to go to this place or to try this way? And then all of a sudden it just like clicks. That's also a ha'ara. Right? That's an illumination. Where Kodesh Baruch Hu allows a person to all of a sudden to, oh, it finally makes sense. It finally makes sense. Okay? Hatikun lacher shvir gemur. So therefore, the fixing comes. He says one line from the bottom, kuf samach beis, after the complete breaking. V'inyan ze roim bahar be'mine ofanam be'inyan ha'olam. And again, this happens in so many different ways in our life. Shatikun lo nifal el lacher shvir gemur. Sometimes the fixing comes, the rectification comes after complete breaking. And he says, let me give you some examples from the natural world, right? Which you can't deny. She'll say, well, this hasn't been my life's experience. When I go through difficulties, you know, the solution's not always the most obvious thing that was right next to me the whole time. He says, let me give you some examples from the natural world that you can't deny. Kigon, bechelek hatzomeach shebebriya. Let's talk about plant life. Shebezriyas hagarin ba'adama. Many tzaddikim bring this. That in the planting of a garin, of a seed in the ground, Shekol mataras hazriya ba'adama hu bishvil. Shiya levi yitzmach v'yasapri. First of all, putting the seed in the ground itself is like a funny thing, right? I bury it in the earth so that it can grow back out of the earth. Funny process. But more than that, the whole matara, the whole purpose of planting it in the ground is that it should what? Shiya levi yitzmach v'yasapri. That it should grow and it should elevate itself out of the ground and it should produce fruit. Ulam, however, Ein bekoach hagarin latzmiach pri, elarak laacher shabolo v'nis yavesh legamri ba'adama. What happens to that seed in the process of its growth? First it rots, and it withers, nityabesh, and then when it's at the point of like, you know, where it's about to lose its life, where it's about to decompose completely, all of a sudden it starts to sprout. Remind you of anything? How about the Jewish people on the 49th level of Tumah, buried in Mitzrayim? And then Mamish is around the cusp of level 50, the point of no return. All of a sudden we sprout. And boy, do we sprout. We come to Kabbalah Satorah, we become Klal Yisrael. Ashu kama'at nelam lagamri. The seed is rotting in the ground to the point that it's nearly entirely lost. V'rak oz maschilim lizgalos hakochos hatmunim bo. And at that last minute, all of a sudden, then there's this awesome revelation of its power, of its strength, of its abilities. And then it becomes what it's supposed to become. Then the seed starts to grow. V'yale, v'yifrach, v'yetzitz. It starts to produce all the blossoms and blooms. V'yasa pri matok. And it produces beautiful, sweet fruit. V'zadom le'tchias ha'mesim mamish. It's mamish, a tchias ha'mesim for a seed in the ground. It's an amazing thing. V'chein ro'im lif'amim kisha adam shari b'matzav no'ah shel gamri. So too, when a person finds himself in a very desperate situation, and he did everything normal to try to help himself. And everything that should have helped backfired. Did the exact opposite. He says, I have no strength left. I have no strength left. It's such a sad day of tzedakah collectors at my door yesterday. This guy came into my house. He comes all the time. I know him for many years already. And he says, I'm already dead. I said, you're not dead. I said, today's Tu B'Shvat, you're not dead. I said, look outside, the trees are also dead, but they're coming back to life. So you also. He said, no, Nikvar Mes. I'm collecting just to keep my kid, you know, just to be able to help my kids. So I said, no, Michael, you're not. It's not true. I said, don't talk like that. I said, you have to. He says, I get into bed at night. And he says, my heart is just broken. I was just hanging out. I was just like talking to this guy for like, I don't know, a while. And just, you know, mamish, shavur, shivrei kalim, mamish. But I kept saying to him, it's Tu B'Shvat. This is the day. We're dead trees. Right? What are we celebrating today? Hey, Freilich and Tu B'Shvat, Chaver, look outside. Beautiful, no? Nice dead trees. But they're not dead. They're alive on the inside. There's a part that was never dead. There's an akuda that was always alive and still alive. So when a person thinks, nah, I'm done. I'm spent. I'm done. V'roesh yakol mitziusol v'chol inyanav einim ela ach v'rak b'yad Hashem. At this point, there's nothing I can do. Right? Hashem yazor. Ah, good. Yeah, you're right. Hashem yazor. And therefore, ain't shum yayush. Asher l'chol zeh zocher rak ha'yidei abitol. You know what? How did you come to the realization that only Hashem can help you? By becoming so frustrated with all of your own efforts to the point that, see, it's ironic, like that moment of like surrender of the ultimate expression of frustration is also the ultimate expression of hope. If you want a good homework assignment, learn Rabbi Nachman in the second chelik of Likutei Maran in Tinyana in the second section, Torah Yud Beis. It's all about when a Jew's in his lowest moment and he screams to Hashem, Ayei Mekom Kavodo. Where are you, God? And Hashem says, oh, good, you're talking about me. That's amazing. In the most broken place, you're still talking about me. Tzaddik talked about me in such a broken place. Makom shabalei tshuva omdim, main tzaddik and gemar. Brachos lamedalit, your mamish, you're the highest. Because as your seed was about, as you were about to give up hope, you threw the whole thing onto Hashem, and Hashem says, good, now you know the truth. Eim avado, it's only me. Asher lechol zezach rak ha'idol. It's from that frustration and desperation and all of the failure that you finally are able to recognize the ultimate truth, which is Enochanami, Hashem the only one who can help. Hashem Mamish is the only one who can help you. Va'oz Ein of Lamaro. Shabbos was the art site of Rav Yisachar Dov Teichtel. Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Hashem should avenge his blood. Rav Teichtel was the author of the Eim HaBanim Smecha, an awesome sefer about his own recognition as a Hasidish, a person who had negative views on the founding of the State of Israel and how he had a total change of thoughts during World War II, where he eventually lost his life and his own personal transformation, and he puts blame on many people for not getting involved from the beginning. Everyone's so busy complaining about, you know, secular Zionists building Eretz Yisrael. No, so why didn't you get involved? Then it could have been Frum. If the Frum people would have got involved, then we would have had a much better State of Israel. Okay. But he writes beautiful, beautiful, it's a beautiful sefer about Eretz Yisrael, about Mashiach, about Geula. It's called Eim HaBanim Smecha. He also wrote Svarim, Shalos, and Tshuvos. He's a chashuv person. We have his writings on Chumash, on the Moadim. It's called Mishnah Sacher. So he tells this story. It's a famous story. He tells it, I don't remember which parsha it's in. But he tells a story that someone came to the Aptarav. A couple came to the Aptarav seeking a Yeshua. I don't know, they didn't have children or something like that. And they came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, you know, okay, if you want me to, you know, to give you a bracha, then you have to pay X amount. And they said, that's, you know, it's like a lot of money, right? He's like, well, then I'm not going to daven for you. They're like, yeah, but we need to have children. We can't afford that. And he said, I don't, you know, this is what it costs. If you want my blessing, if you want my help, then this is what it's going to, you know, and they kept fighting him. No, Rebbe, but like we can't afford that. What are you? You're not gonna give us a bracha? You're not gonna bless us for children? You're charging us so much money for a bracha? No, that's what I do. Again, I'm not telling the story exactly, but this is the gist of the story. No, that's the. So finally, the Rebbetzin, the woman, says to her husband, in the right mamash, right in front of the Aptarav, in front of the Ohev Yisrael, his name. Yeah. So she says, you know what? Forget this rabbi. We don't need him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us a bracha. So he says, ah, good, exactly. That's exactly what I was waiting for you to say. He says, you were too much toil on me, you were dependent too much on me. Now you know it's from Hashem, and now I can give you a bracha, free of charge. And give him a bracha. Right? They had to become so frustrated with the Ohev Yisrael, to become so angry had like all of the, you know, here's a tzaddik. Why isn't he helping me? I don't understand. You know what? In desperation, fine, we choose you, Hashem. He's like, right, that was the right choice from the beginning. That's who you should have chosen from the start. So when a person comes to this state of bittel, va'oz tola'in of lumbarum, and then out of desperation they look up to the heavens, va'azai mamshach ha'atzmo ha'ara mishem ha'kadosh ma. Now let me just explain what he's saying here. And he brings down an illumination upon himself from the name of Hashem that is ma. Okay? Now, no one called me out on it, but I skipped a few pages. I skipped, we ended up last week on Kuf Mem Tes, and I started today on Kuf Samach Beis. Okay, I skipped a few pages because they're very, very heavy and they're complicated and we don't have enough time today to do it. And I wasn't going to do it even if we had more time. But the idea of the name Ma, we know that Hashem's basic name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the four-letter name of Hashem, you could spell out the letters Yud and He and Vav and He different ways. How do you spell the letter Yud? It's only one way to spell the letter Yud, if you spell it out. Yud, Vav, Dalet. How do you spell the letter He? You could either do He He, or you could do He Aleph, or you could do He Yud. Those are three legitimate spellings of He. How do you spell Vav? Either Vav, 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 Aleph, Vav, or Vav, Yud, Vav. Okay? So there's different expansions of Hashem's name. You can mix and match. You can do this type of hay with this type of vav. Okay? Look in the Kisvei Arizal, you'll see all sorts of combinations. One of the basic combinations is what we call miloy alfin, the expansion of alephs, which means that we spell it with alephs. So hay is spelled hay, aleph. Vav is spelled vav, aleph, vav. Okay? So what's the gematria if you do yud ke vav ke b'miloy alfin with the expansion of alephs? How much is Yud? Yud Vav Dalet is 20. How much is Hey Aleph? 6. So we have two Heys. So 6 plus 6. So 20 plus 6 plus 6 is how much? 32. Now we got to add the Vav. Vav Aleph Vav is 13. Is 45. So one of the expansions of Hashem's name is what we call the Shem Ma, Mem Hey. It's this expansion. It's the four letters of Hashem's name spelled out with Alephs. Yud and Hey Aleph. Vav, Aleph, and Vav. Right? And then again, Hey, Aleph. It's Gematria 45. Why is he saying, what is this name, Ma? And why is it bringing salvation to a person here? Bechinas v'nachnu Ma. It's like Moshe and Aaron say, what the heck do you want from us, Klal Yisrael? Why are you complaining to us? We don't have water for you. We can't help you. Who are we that you should be complaining to us? Talk to Hashem. You don't like the water that he's providing for you? Talk to Hashem. You don't like the job Hashem's giving you? Talk to Hashem. You don't like the way your Shalom Bayis is going? Talk to Hashem. What do you want from me? Yeah, also go to a marriage therapist. And also, you know, update your LinkedIn page or whatever. And like, work your connections. But lemaisa, lemaisa, v'nachnu ma, what are we? And that's what everyone should respond to. That's what the Abdurab was saying to those people. Why are you coming to me for a bracha? Until finally he said, I'm not paying you all that money. I'm just going to talk to Hashem. Right. Right. Talk to Hashem. V'nachnu ma. When I realize that it's not up to me, when I realize that the salvation could be right in front of my face and I'm not going to see it until Hashem opens my eyes, the status quo is that you're blind. You're not going to get it until you ask Hashem to help you to get it. And then the tzara, tzadi reish hei, the difficulty, becomes a tzohar. As a tzohar. What's a tzohar? A window, an illumination, right? Tzohar tasa l'teva, it says by Noach. Create some source of light. One opinion is it's a window, one opinion it's a shining stone, but it's a source of light. Tzohar is a lashon of illumination, or gadol. Ume'ayin yavo ezri. What does David HaMelech say when he, what does David HaMelech mean when he says, me'ayin yavo? From where will my salvation, me'ayin, from where will my salvation come? What's the answer? Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. That is the answer. Me'ayin, from nothingness, right? From a feeling that there's no one to rely upon but you. Me'ayin, when I realize ayin, I'm nothing. Then Yavo Ezri, right? Or like we say, Uma Chazdenu, Uma Yeshuasenu. Right? What is our source of chesed? What is our salvation? The answer is, Ma is Chazdenu. when I realize, who am I? That becomes the salvation. When I say, Ma Yeshua Seinu, what is my hope? What is my salvation? When I realize, what am I without you, Hashem? That itself brings the salvation. Let's finish the page. The same thing that we saw by the sprouting of a seed, a plant, a little seed stuck in the ground, the same thing is true. And again, Rav Yaakov Meshechter is culling from earlier Svarim. Different tzaddikim who spoke about these things. The Maggid of Mezrich spoke about these things. Rav Pinchas Koritzer, early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, look to these mashalim as a way to be mechazek the Ramuna. Everything rots before it sprouts. That's just the way it is. Shirak la'achar. When it comes to what? When it comes to a chick, a little egg, being able to be fertilized and eventually to hatch. Shirak la'achar shenizbala habeitza bifnim. The egg is kim'at rotting on the inside. V'nishberes legamri. And then out of that you know, terrible situation, an afroach is born. A little chick hatches. He says, look in the writings of the Maggid of Mezrich and the Maggid Devar of Yaakov to see about this. But that's how it always is. That's how it always is. I just remembered now, there's a Gemara at the end of the first parak, I think, of Moed Katan, which says that the best time to eat a certain type of fish is right before it spoils. Right before it spoils is when it's tastiest. If you let it go drop too long, it'll spoil and it'll be disgusting. It'll taste terrible. But if you eat it, mamish, if you time it just right, yeah, the end of the first pack of Moed Katan, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Right? If you get it right, here you go. I'm really Abad Saida, Ada Saida. Ada, the fisherman, told me good advice. Kvara samach lemisarche male. If you eat the kvara, if you eat this type of fish, close to its spoiling, male, that's when it tastes best. Right? So Toso says, nowadays we don't know exactly how to do it, so you know, be careful you don't eat spoiled fish. Right? But again, to walk that fine line, to be able to get to the point of mamish, you know, the 49th level of Tumah, and then to become Klal Yisrael. That the seed should come out, rot completely, and then it sprouts. That the egg nearly loses the trick, and then suddenly a cute little bird is born. He says, think about building a building. There's a huge house being on the way to, I often go to Damar, there's this massive house being built. Right now it looks like a war zone over there. Right? There's gonna be a palace when they're done. Right? But right now the way it's dug up and the way that there's beams everywhere and there's crazy looking machines. Yeah? If you would say, like, what's going on here? I don't know, something really bad's going on over here. Right? They're putting down a foundation for something beautiful that's going to be built. So how much chorban, how much digging, how much breaking, how much hammering, how much clanging of the, you know, the metal and the pouring of the cement, how messy and complicated and dirty is the process of putting down the foundation to build a beautiful bayis. V'kama omel v'tzar beguf v'nefesh soivlam horim, asherom esetze eyim ole tipuchim, megudolim v'holchim b'derach Hashem. And how much effort do parents put into their children? How much blood, sweat, and tears go into raising children that they should walk in the proper derech? You know? How many frustrations did parents have with their children in their, you know, in their youth and in their teenage years until finally, you know, they turned out to be, Baruch Hashem, healthy, normal, good Jewish children. It's true in Torah. Let's read three more lines for today. Actually, no, let's just finish the paragraph. Turn the page also. V'zeh biur lenemor. This is the pshat in the pasuk. V'hamachshela tachas yadecha. Pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, V'hamachshela hazois tachas yadecha. It's a famous gemara in Gittin. She'ein adam omir al divrei Torah elin kem nichshol behem. That's one of the most amazing gemaras. A person does not have success in Torah until he stumbles in them. You're going to mess up. You're going to say the wrong pshat in the Gemara before you say the right pshat in the Gemara. Right? You're going to struggle to daven with Kavanah before you daven with Kavanah. Yeah? You're going to feel bad about speaking Lashon Hara because you don't know how to stop yourself until you eventually stop yourself. But the process of wanting to get there is going to come with some bumps along the way. But eventually, a person is omid b'divrei Torah. He's going to stumble. He's going to trip up a few times. Ki ka'amor kol ha'tikun lo nase ela yedei ha'shvira v'kishalon. Because again, that's the process of building. Breaking leads to building. V'ala adam muto b'zeh ha'olam lo lahatrif as daito. So Chevra says, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, really speaking as the modern day, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter Shlita, as the modern day mouthpiece of Rabbi Nachman, Zuchusi again Aleinu. The main thing is don't lose your mind. Lo lahatrif as daito. Don't go out of your mind. Try to stay level-headed. Try to know how to ride the ups and downs. Someone told me on Shabbos, right? A musical composition only sounds beautiful if there's highs and lows. There's ups and downs. Whereas the Mashgiach of Shlomo Volbe used to say, if you're looking at a heart monitor, yeah, ups and downs means you're alive. Flat line means you're dead. If the music is just flat, it's not going to sound good. It's dafka, the ups and downs. It's the roller coaster of life that makes it kishmak. Why did Hashem make it this way? It's so crazy. Why does everything have to rot before it sprouts? Vayi'er vayivoker. Why does darkness always have to precede light? Why does Korban have to precede Binyan? You know there's a line that the Apter Rav brings, the Oiv Yisrael brings, by the Beinah Mitzarim. He says there was never such a happy day in history as the day the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He quotes a Medrash. There was never such a happy day in history as the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Think about that one next time you're sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av. There was never such a happy day. Ein Moed, there was never such a Moed. Like Chorban Bayis Sheni, you know why? Because that Chorban paves the way for Binyan Bayis Shlishi. That's a perspective. To see a certain celebration in the Chorban, because, okay, it's a Chorban that leads to a nicer Binyan, a better Binyan, a more refined Binyan. Bona Olamos Sumachrivan, Hashem built worlds and destroyed worlds, and built them and destroyed them, and built them and destroyed them. So Chevra just turned to the last page, top of Kuf Samach Dalet, Lizbalbel Lahoisiv Oid Shvir Al Shvirasso. Don't go out of your mind and add more breaking than necessary. Let Hashem decide how much brokenness there needs to be. Rather, he says in the second line, El Lizbonein Tamid Lahavin Heitiv Esachisaron Shalom Echsholim. Understand the goodness and the necessity of the setbacks in life. Ulafocho Sam Litikun, transform them into building. Fix it. Because these are the rules of reality as established by the King of all Kings. As Seder HaBriya, Shatikun HaRo'oi V'HaMa'ula, the proper fixing comes, Rak Zeh Shabbat Al Yedei B'china Shvir Alefaneh. It has to come on the ruins of everything that's broken. Then a person builds. Okay, so we'll stop here for today. Kuf Samach Dalet. I saw there were some hands up and questions and comments, but I'm not going to take them now because we're on a very tight schedule and we have to learn Gemara.